What's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Good to be back with you. Coming at you after the Kings game, where the Warriors are coming off of a split on a back-to-back, took care of the Suns the night before, and then it went in shorthanded, missing Steph, Jimmy, Dre against the Kings. Kings were also very shorthanded, and it felt like an opportunity for the young baby Dubs to potentially go into Golden One Center and snatch a not much needed victory, but it would have been a nice victory to have, you know, make up for one of the previous bad losses the other week and get another W in the win column. Ultimately fell a bit short, and there's a lot to like in this. There were some of the usual kind of head scratching and you know, head slapping decisions, effort, lacks of focus, lapses that you see from even the starters, and ultimately came up a bit short and almost made a good comeback but didn't, and fall to 5-4 on the year. Would feel much better if it was a 6-3 or even a 7-2, especially looking at that schedule, and you've taken care of teams like the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Grizzlies, and who else am I missing? Had another good win, but then you're losing to teams like the shorthanded Bucks, shorthanded Pacers, shorthanded Kings, even the Blazers earlier this year, and that a lot of meat left on the bone is my point. And we've seen it the past couple of years. You get off to a decent start and you have some good wins, but you lose a few of these that you feel like you have and would pay dividends later in the season, where you're basically chasing every game you can that last month or even 2 months of the season, and you wipe yourself out heading into the postseason. So this was one of those games where you just kind of wish you'd been able to pull it out. It would have been so much to like about a shorthanded team, and you know, guys like Moody, Will Richard, and even Kuminga having good games, and you feel like you wasted the effort. And again, silver linings, but ultimately a loss is a loss. And it stings just a bit, especially knowing that you're going in Friday against the Nuggets to Denver in altitude with your stars still dinged up. Steph sounded like he got worse overnight before the Kings games. I don't know if you're going to see him in Denver. If you are, he's probably not feeling even up to 75-80%. You'll probably see Dre and Jimmy in that, and we'll see. But I mean, the Nuggets are going to be out for a little bit of revenge from their loss last time against us. And again, you're going to altitude, and yeah, maybe the Warriors surprise us and play up to the level of competition like they have been, but very possible chance that they're going in as big underdogs and just trying to stay above 500. So before we get into this one, I just want to say, you know, I've been gone for about a week and a half. I was on a cruise in Miami, so thanks for being patient. I'm back on a losing note, but I'm just happy to be back because I thought my time here on Earth might have been cut short on the plane ride back home yesterday. Flying through, all of a sudden the cabin pressure drops, my ears start popping, the oxygen masks deploy, and the intercom comes on. Put on your air mask, fasten your seatbelts. And that's all we knew for like 3 or 4 minutes. Plane starts descending, not super rapidly, but you can feel it descending. Take a peek out the window. There's nothing but mountains there. There's no possible place to land. And I'm just hoping that we start to level out, which we do eventually level out at about 10,000 feet. And, you know, we're breathing through the oxygen masks. And after about maybe 10 minutes of, you know, trying to text our loved ones and saying, "Hey, I love you. I don't know what's going on. I'm stashing Clif bars and bottle of water in my pockets and charging my phone just in case we make a landing and get trapped in the desert somewhere." Don't really know what the hell's going on, but ultimately cruised and got all the way back into LAX, but scary times. So I'm just happy to be here with you making this episode. Enough about me. Let's get back to the Warriors. Let's just start with the bad. Let's get it out of the way. Lapses. Uncharacteristically in that third quarter, where I guess heading into the half, you know, you started to see the turnovers. Warriors were at minus 17 in points off turnovers. The rebounding lot, it felt like every time the Kings were missing in that second half, they were getting a rebounding. But I think we all know we're going to point our fingers at the fouling. It was just bad fouling by everybody. A lot of ticky-tack soft fouls, a lot of just reach-in fouls, just, you know, fouls that didn't really need to be committed, nor were, you know, saving a basket. It was just kind of like non-threatening, non-opportunistic plays for the Kings that just resulted in them getting to the free throw line. Warriors are in or Kings were in the bonus like 3 minutes into the second half. And in a game where, hey, you had a chance to cut the lead, to tie the game down three with the ball before Kuminga kind of missed that little open mid-key shot. Every point matters. Every turnover matters. Every free throw matters. And it's like the lapses in focus. You know, you ask for the best you can out of your young players and they played hard. But ultimately, you know what? I'm not even going to blame them on being young or inexperienced because this happens to our stars a lot as well. So is it fatigue? I don't know what it is. You know, is it the style of play with just so much movement and passing? And I can understand why you have more turnovers. You have a little more fatigue, but for whatever the reason, the Warriors tend to just go through these just droughts and these lapses, and it's been running for several years now. And I know other teams go through the same, but it just feels like in the games that require your best effort, the Warriors tend to stay focused, and that's when they're at their best. But games like last night, games against shorthanded teams, games where you jump out to an early lead, like the Warriors have done a lot of the times, they just kind of let go of the rope. And then there's just silly fouls. There's silly turnovers. There's just kind of dumb plays, missed easy bunnies at the hoop, whatever the case may be. And there's no one specifically to blame. It just runs across the whole organization, the whole roster. It's the reason why you lose these close games against bad teams here in November, December, and it comes back to bite you later in the season. So let's just kind of get that out of the way, and that needs to get better. But those are the ups and downs you have to live with, and just got to reduce and stop the bleeding when it happens. Speaking of bleeding, man, Al Horford's jump shot. You know, Al will be fine. I'm not worried about him. Steve Kerr has said he's not worried about Al. He's playing fine. It takes time to acclimate. He's just, you know, he's missing shots. You know, he's a high 30%, even 40% three-point shooter for his career. That will get better, but he went 0 of 8 last night, 0 of 7 from 3. Felt like he just make one or two of those and, you know, shoot 14% from 3, and the Warriors are in this and maybe even steal a win. I'm not going to hit the worry or eject button, or if I'm flying a plane, you know, an emergency squawk is what it's called that I learned. I'm not going to file a squawk report because my right engine has failed. I'm just going to kind of keep flying at altitude and wait for Al Horford to right the ship, because it will. But if we're looking, you know, 10, 15, 20 games down the road and it's still not looking a lot better, we're kind of back to figuring out what the heck we're doing at center, and you might be in the market for a big, because regardless of how Al's playing, you still are a little bit thin. And Quinton Post has actually done a much better job defensively than I thought, especially the last few games. But between those two, you just need somebody who's going to give you some rim protection. You need somebody that's going to rebound. And you think Horford's going to improve that, which he will and has, but there still is a need for a supersized TJD who's going to give you, you know, a block and a half to 2 blocks per game, tighten up that back line of defense. And I mean, let's just talk about the D, you know, the perimeter defense, the point of attack defense. It hasn't even been that bad, especially in this one and against, you know, the last couple of games. You know, you're going to give up some blowbys. You're going to give up some layups and rim pressure. It's the lack of having a true rim deterrent there. You know, that's just someone, you know, I'll just throw Wemby and Chet. You know, your perimeter defense doesn't really matter around it if you know someone there can just clean up behind. Warriors don't have that luxury. They're focused on having a good set defense, being back, getting good matchups, and being switchable and really just kind of holding your ground and forcing teams into bad shots. But you don't really have someone that can essentially clean up a huge mess at the rim. And that's where you see the Warriors giving up a lot of points at the hoop. You see a lot of fouls. And that's just something that the Warriors are missing. And hopefully Al Horford can give you a bit more of that. You're starting to see Post a few more blocks these days. Had a nice one on, was it DeRozan or Schroeder? He had a nice block, a recovery in this one. And being just one area of opportunity for the Warriors, in addition to just kind of cleaning up these lapses that they're having. Let's talk about the silver linings Will Richard, man, first career start, 30 points, looked fantastic. Looked like we already know that he just tends to be in the right place at all times. He's going to hustle on both sides of the ball, has a great feel for, when to, space the floor out, but then also kind of cut baseline, be in that dunker spot. Had a really nice back cut when Kuminga got kind of a little into the middle of key, a little reverse pivot, and finds Richard cutting back door for a reverse layup. Just very good feel for the game. And then also defensively, just really working hard, great rebounder at his size, always just competing, high energy, good athlete. And you can see why he was a winner in college. He is just a winning player. And everything about Will Richard points to a actual solid, shooting guard rotation where he's going to be getting at least 10, maybe in 15 minutes a game, even after Melton returns. Richard just gives you a little bit of stability at that spot. And he'll have his ups and downs. He's a rookie. And just like all the other young guys have their ups and downs. But for, what are we, seven, 9 games into the season, he's been looking pretty steady and pretty consistent. The shot will be there sometimes, and obviously at times he'll go a little bit cold, just like any player at that age. But you just like the effort and the things that you can control each game, and that's just being in the right place, making the right reads, and playing hard. So Will Richard, I love that, and shows a glimpse into what can be your future starting shooting guard in the next several years. Moses Moody, co-player of the game, probably. I mean, he's just been on fire from three. He's finally up to conditioning. Steve Kerr just basically saying, he missed 2 of the 3 weeks of training camp with that calf injury. So now that he's finally conditioned, you already seen what he's been doing on defense the last year or so, just really just being a disruptor, giving high efforts. And then now that jump shot seems a little bit quicker, made a mechanical adjustment, just kind of avoided that little dip that he used to have. Not a hitch, but just kind of like pulling from his left hip, and just kind of took him a while to get that shot up. Saw a couple instances last night where he's kind of catch and shoot flat footed, where he usually needs to like load up with that dip just to kind of get some power behind it. But no, it was a quick release and got it off. And most of these shots are just nothing but net on the threes. I think he had another, what, 6 threes last night, attacking well, making good decisions. So a great game from Moses Moody. And yeah, I mean, he's in the running for most improved as well. But him, Kuminga, who we'll talk about in a second. But you gotta like what you've seen from this young team, and it's all the reason to think, they continue to improve. That's the recipe for this team to go far. As long as the stars continue to play like stars and things start to get a little bit more focused, and we get through this treacherous schedule, which once we do to start to pay some dividends on the back end, a little more spaced out schedule the second half of the season. So just kind of, ride the turbulence, throw that oxygen mask on. I'll keep coming back to that airplane because my near-death experience, quote unquote, is on my mind. But yeah, you kind of just weather this storm, and you think that as this team grows and as the young players continue to get minutes, and it's a great time for them to see what they had in them and get some good experience. Wish they could have pulled out the W, but again, very valuable game for the Warriors to really just see what you have in Richard, to really get Moses Moody going and to be a focal point and be aggressive on offense. And then also just Jonathan Kuminga. It was really a showcase game for him, what he can do as an alpha, as the lead engine of this team. And he was good in the first quarter, especially at like 11 points, finished with 24, and started to fade as the game went on. Maybe a bit tired, even asking a lot of him. I know he's a supreme athlete, but he is playing a lot of minutes coming off a back-to-back. Second half, that fatigue starts to result in just kind of stupid fouls, starts to result in turnovers. That is the biggest area of improvement for him as he starts to have a higher usage, starts to be asked to do more. Can you protect that ball? Can you make the same plays? The game's slowing down for him a bit, but there's still these high turnover games. I think he had like 6 turnovers last night. These games, you need to clean it up. You need to value each possession, as Steve Kerr said after the game. And that's the next evolution of Kuminga, right? It's just you're starting to do all the things like rebounding, pass, better defense, better effort around. The game's slowing, but now can you get to that point where when you are the focal point of attention, where teams are kind of braced up against you, can you continue to make plays the entire 48 minutes under control and make the right play with not any lapses? We're getting there. Yep. It's definitely better, but you see these little spurts and these shifts sometimes where it looks a little bit like last year, and you just don't want him to force too much. It's a very tough balance, right? You're asking him to do more, you're asking him to stay aggressive, but you don't want him trying to do too much because that's when he gets ahead of himself. That's when the mistakes start to happen. That's when you fall into bad habits. Can you find that middle ground, particularly when you're the second or even the lead scorer on the team, to continue getting your team into good shots? Also, speaking of good shots, man, that last possession where Kuminga had a chance to cut it to one with like whatever few seconds left. Oh, it's one more step through. You kind of just fell in love with that little turnaround fadeaway, not realizing your defenders had fallen down and you're 5 feet from the hoop shooting a little fadeaway jumper when. Take one more count, slow it down just a little, step in. You might even have a dunk there, or at worst, a layup, cut the lead to one. So just slow it down a little bit more. And I think next time you'll see that he finishes that play. And who knows what happens from there. Kuminga talked about it after the game a bit, is playing off of 2 feet. And that's just a way of, getting under control. You can get to your spots in the key on the floor. And he's done a really good job of it. You saw it earlier in the game where he kind of comes to a jump stop, up fakes Eubanks, I think it was. Eubanks falls for it, and Kuminga steps through, finishes. The pass that we talked about with Will Richard cutting baseline, Kuminga gets to the key, little kind of reverse pivot, but essentially gets under control. He doesn't do that little that hop where he's landing 1-2, and it's being called a travel a lot. So you got to land on two, and then you can pivot out of that, but finds a nice assist on that. And that's just been his most effective way of getting to the line as well, is kind of get under control. And now you can control your up fakes and pivots and step throughs. And from there, now you're a more efficient scorer, or you just get into the key and pass it out. But ultimately, that's where I think you've seen the biggest improvement from Kuminga, is just kind of playing off of 2 feet. Oh, yeah. And he's knocking out open threes. He's gotten to the point where I don't think teams are willing to leave him open from three. It's going to happen. But you see, when his feet are set and he has time to just kind of gather, pretty consistently knocking it down. I think he's still over about 40% from three on the season. And those open threes, I'd assume he's shooting closer to 50% on those. So, Kuminga, a good game from him. You're seeing a little bit more up and down lately after his scorching start, but that's part of the process. He can be great. We all know that. Now, can you do it consistently? But what I like the most consistently is that the rebounding has been there. The extra pass has tended to be there. So a lot of the little things are starting to become more consistent. And for all those reasons, I guess even despite a loss, it was an optimistic game, and you have hopes that the Warriors are going to eventually turn a corner. And once you get Steph right, you get Jimmy right, you get Draymond right, this team can go do great things. All right, I'll leave it there. And yeah, we'll talk to you hopefully after the Nuggets game. And hopefully, Steph's feeling better. And yeah, hopefully, they survive the flight. All right. Take it easy, guys. Gonna be back with you. Give me a like, subscribe, follow if you haven't already. I'm Chris Chin. And until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.